Justin Chong, Skater Boy. And I'm Nalin, your hostess with the mostess.
What do you have?
I have a lot of things to give. Okay. Yeah, I want to thank Kirstie and Jess for joining me on this episode. Today we are going to be talking about what about our cultures we're ashamed of, but also what we're proud of. So thank you for tuning in.
So we are all women of color. So I wanted to talk about.
Stop. Let
it
finish.
Rude.
I'm kidding.
I wanted to talk about parts of your culture that you're ashamed of. Obviously, we're gonna flip the switch and say parts of our culture that we aren't ashamed of, and like are particularly proud of. I'm just gonna explain. So I, Nalin, am Thai, Chinese, and you
more
guys,
Thai.
Yeah, more Thai. And you guys are Chinese Timorese. Kirstie and Jess are Chinese Timorese.
But we were born and raised in Darwin.
Yeah, born and raised in Australia.
All of us are from Darwin.
Yeah.
It's hard to think of one thing that I'm actually ashamed of. I think the idea of like how stingy Asians are. And
true.
That was really tough. Because like...
Did you experience that? Like with any of your friends and past partners? Would they say shit like, oh, you're Chinese, so obviously you're stingy.
Yeah, like I think for like just being right, like in like a Western culture, the idea is that Asians are like quite stingy, and on top of that, they can't speak English very well. So like,
that's
the stereotype,
stupid.
And that like when I was younger was very not fun.
You were conscious of
it. Not fun, and on top of that, like mum and dad very much was. That stereotype too, because they were running a business, so they had to, you know, count every penny in the start of their business. And when I was born, it was probably like only 4 years into their business,
yeah,
or something. And then they already, so in 4 years into the business, they already had 2 children, and
that's so stressful.
And then 4 years later, they would 3 to 4 years later, they would have another child, and then 3 to 4 years later after that, they had another child. So they were very much conservative with their money, so it was hard because it's like I didn't even have like what everyone at school was saying was right, because my parents were the stingy people that had like an accent that couldn't speak English very well. I would say that. And so, and then the idea that people that are stingy or people that only think about money is in some way are inherently bad people, that kind of like plays into
how
it too.
How does that because they could potentially
rip you off, or like not could be considerate of your emotions more so.
Yeah,
and yeah, the that also could lead to like them being two-faced in a way, to try and just get money off you.
That's
something that like Asian culture is another like typical thing that is prevalent, like Asians being two-faced, like nice to you, like as we know, like nice to you, but. Actually, really only care about
money. I never had that.
I think that
thing,
does though. Stem from parts of the culture where there is saving face.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so you would,
yes,
put up a forefront to people, your friends, and people who weren't like your immediate family, but behind closed doors, you can be someone else.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That also leads to like. Them being like you being ashamed if you're queer as well, because if you're queer, you that would affect how not only other people that aren't your family view, but even now your family as well. So like one thing that I'm actually ashamed of now is how close-minded some like Asian people are with like queer issues. They're just very, like...
When you say Asian people, do you mean, like, Australian-born or...
Like, I would say more traditional, like
first-generation,
like, parents. I mean, Asians. There are some, like, that are totally fine, like, but, you know, I would say that they are rarer to find than in a Western... than in Western culture, where older people seem to be more accepting of, like, queer things. Like, yeah, that's... Those are like 3 things I think I mentioned that I'd be ashamed of. only the thing about being closed-minded, being queer, is something that I would be ashamed of right now. Yeah. The other things of, like, not having, like, being stingy. And what was the other thing I said?
I don't think I was...
Stingy and...
Two-faced?
No, because I was saying being stingy can also, like, lead into that.
Accents.
Yeah, and accents. Those two I don't care about now.
Right.
But, like, the third one, definitely being closed-minded, being queer, about queer people. Yeah. It's, like, something I'd be ashamed of.
I mean, even if your mom has an accent, she has a very good understanding of the English language, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just because she's been doing, like, service for, like,
Yeah, it's not like she had the time to go to, like, university to just fix her pronunciation. Or hire a tutor to just fix her pronunciation. I don't even think you could do that in Darwin.
Yeah.
You're gonna
Does your mom get...
You have, like... There's a language centre.
Yeah. Do your parents...
It's basic English.
Yeah. Do your parents get, like, sort of embarrassed when you point out that they pronounce something wrong?
I never really tell them
what's
that they're saying something wrong.
Oh, okay, you don't tell them.
We don't correct their pronunciation. We just, if they say something that means something very different, we will, like, tell them. Like, one time Mom was like, oh, I'll drop you. She meant to say, I'll drop you off, but then she said, I'll put you down. Correct. I never the point about the two-faced thing, I don't know, I never really, I wasn't worried that people would think that I was two-faced. I hated people that were two-faced.
It's just because you're a Leo.
No, like,
you only have one face at all times.
I don't think I've ever been interpreted as two-faced.
No, people haven't called me two-faced. I guess I don't know what you would call it, but people, when they first meet me, they expect something else of me. It's because I would meet
you
a lot of...
You have a front.
What do you mean?
You just have a front. It's not, like, a purposeful
What are you talking
front.
About? A social personality?
Yeah, you kind of have a front.
Like, you got to explain
like
it
what?
All.
Like
a bitch front?
No!
Like a...
You kind of, like... You do suck up a little.
Okay, that comes with being Thai.
I know, but that's why people... I think that's why you're likable to people that you meet at first. And then... I mean, not that you're not likable on the inside.
But the real you is...
Well,
like
that's just like a mixture of a whole different types of things. With
also, you're a little flirty.
Stuff. Yeah, I'm just...
Unintentionally.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean like that. I was talking about like when I was in middle school and stuff, because I'm kind of like introverted.
Mm-hmm.
But then when someone gets talking to me or I'm around people that I'm comfortable with, then I'm pretty loud and foul mouth.
Bit foul mouth.
So what was something that you were actually ashamed of? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no. There's heaps. There's heaps of things that...
You don't like about Thai culture?
Yeah, there's like the two-faced thing, being likable, sucking up to people, and then behind, like, gossiping about them. There's a really big gossip culture.
Is that
really
the Thai thing?
Is that Chinese? Well, it is. It's Chinese as well.
I don't know, because our family
It's like
we're
all the aunties and stuff.
We're not like mainland Chinese, so I don't think that.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of have
a different
experience. Mm. Anyways, what were you saying?
Yeah, so there's a gossiping thing, which I haven't really witnessed firsthand besides within my family, so it hasn't been people from other cultures coming in and not trusting me because I'm Thai and they think that I'm going to gossip about them, but yeah, just within my own family, I'm ashamed of that because it happens a lot, and it's...
But do you think that's a your family thing or a Thai thing?
No, it's a Thai thing, definitely, because it happens, but it's not just with... It's happened within my family, but it also... extends from my family throughout the Thai community, especially in Darwin. There's also coming to terms with my relationship with this, but like the ladyboy scene in Thailand is a thing that kind of bothers me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm ashamed of what people think of me when I say that I'm Thai. And because in middle school, especially, because everyone's horrible in middle school, but, like, people, like, even my close friends and stuff, they would make jokes, like, oh, yeah, Nolan's got a dick.
BDE.
Nolan's a ladyboy. I've seen her dick, blah, blah, blah. And it was, like, way off, because I'm a lesbian, but...
Okay,
but, yeah,
I think there's that's so, like, yeah, it's also,
it's so perverse as well.
It's very perverse, especially when like, Australian, like, white Australian men will joke about going to Thailand and, like, sleeping with a ladyboy and stuff. And you don't actually know if they're for real or if they're actually, like, joking.
But I don't see what's funny about that.
They,
like,
because they think that...
It's not gay.
It's... Yeah, no,
it's no longer, like... And it's, like, some... They're being tricked. Like, so, like, they kind of make fun of the fact that a guy would actually look at a ladyboy and be like, damn, that's a hot woman, because a lot of them are actually quite very attractive. And, like... I don't know, I guess they don't like that, so they're trying to make a joke about it, but also, like, they still probably would sleep with them because they are quite attractive. It's very, like...
Weird dynamic.
Weird. They can't just outright say, oh, they're actually really hot. I definitely, like, would have gone there. But then...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can't just go out and say it. They just make a joke
about
it.
Another thing with that is, like, white men coming back with Thai wives.
That's
a... But... Also, I feel
how how would you react if you had a friend, like, let's say in your 20, like, in 20 years from now, you have a male, you said you had a lot of Caucasian friends now.
Yeah.
One of them actually goes to Thailand and, like,
gets
comes back
Thai
with
a Thai wife.
How would you, would you try to be like, what the fuck are
you
doing?
None of my friends would do that, first of all. That's not...
Like,
what's the thing there?
Is it, like, an actual program that people can go and, like, meet
so
a
what
bunch
happens
of people
is,
in a line and pick? Like,
I'm not sure how it is now, but what I've been told and what some people talk about in Thailand, especially within my village, which is Nakhon Sawan, they would, like, if ever they see a white man, like, just travelling about Thailand or whatever, they'll sort of go over to him and start flirting with him, because again, it's this thing about white people being
wealthy,
they can, like, take them to a better country, they can take them to Thailand, so they'll, like, go up to them, approach them, and then start a conversation, hopefully start a relationship with them if they're attracted to them. Like,
is that as malicious as we think it is, in the sense that the guy will pay for the woman?
Sometimes it is like
or
that.
Is
sometimes
just...
there are just green card relationships that happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, kind of under that whole two-faced point
Yeah, no,
made?
It is. Because there's even some...
But some people, like... Straight people? No, but I also, I don't know, I feel like in Asian, not Asian, it's kind of normal to make straight people, no, how can I word this?
What are you trying to say?
I don't know, people have kind of normalized having, like, transactional relationships, and I think that's more prevalent in straight people.
Huh?
Straight, like, Asian
couples. No, it even happens, like, my mum was telling me about it, the fact that gay marriage has been legalized in Australia makes it even easier for people now to have green card relationships. So she was telling me about how a lot of, like, people will say that say they have, like, a white male friend, they'll say that they're gay, they'll get married, come to Australia together, and then get divorced, like, after 4 years.
So how does that make it, it just makes the
because
pool
there's
wider.
No,
you have to get, like, a
there's gender, no, like, there doesn't have to be any sort of sex exchange or anything like that. It doesn't feel like some sort of prostitution.
You just go and live,
like,
there and
as
see,
if
as
it
a
would
defector.
If they were a
well
female.
Why wouldn't it, why couldn't you just do that before with a female friend?
You could deal with the defector.
Because it wasn't legal in Australia.
Yeah.
Gay marriage.
Yeah, but you could just do, like a man, like,
yeah,
a woman who
makes,
wanted
I know what Jessica's saying.
To come to Australia, they couldn't just ask their white male friend.
Marriage?
No,
is,
yeah, it
yeah,
could be
but,
like that, but what
but
I'm
it's
saying
just opening
is,
the pool.
Yeah, it's opening the pool.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier.
Is that a bad thing, though? Is immigration a bad thing?
I don't
well,
know
if something's going to be bad, it should be equally bad, right? For everyone.
I have no issue with people having green card marriages, because I have a lot of aunties and stuff who have had green card marriages, and the people, their husbands, they still live with them, and they're, like, best friends and stuff. So I don't... Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it's wrong. I just...
I don't think it's wrong. I just feel as though
it's
it opens up situations that are very dangerous.
Yeah.
When it becomes, like,
when a woman is like financially dependent on.
There's also
but yeah, that's just something that is prevalent across
everywhere.
Different cultures, and it comes in different ways as well. I mean, like, there's like a full on like in Europe, I don't know, I can't remember which. I think it's like a red light district specifically, and they're like literally like females.
Mean?
Posed in front of a glass.
There's heaps of those types of things in Thailand as well.
What is it?
It's like a red light district.
What's a red light district?
It's where you have to pick females.
Oh.
And they'll literally stand in the behind glass doors and stuff like that. And it's but for some reason, because it's in Europe, it's fine.
Well, there are a lot more laws put in place to protect those people than there are in Thailand.
Yeah, exactly. So the problem is that not
human
just
trafficking and prostitution in Thailand is probably like the most dangerous occupation you can get into. Unfortunately.
That's sad.
Do you just wish the branding of it was better?
Because
I think that, like, it's fine if someone wants to be trans, because, you know, who cares? And then it's fine if people want to have sex with them, like, as long as it's consensual.
But the thing is,
the problem is the branding of it is that it's, they're perverse, and so therefore the culture is perverse, because
There are a lot of things that have, like, there are a lot of good things that have come with the, like, the popularization, the sort of marketing of that sort of thing in Thailand, is that because it has become so popular, it is a lot easier for people to transition in Thailand, and the procedures have become a lot more safe, a lot more accessible.
I think you mentioned to me once that it was almost easier to be trans than gay in Thailand.
Yeah, no, it is, yeah.
Yeah,
it's easier to be accepted as a trans person in Thailand, I think, than it is to be accepted as a gay person.
Yeah. Which is, like, kind of the other way around here.
Yeah. So, like, is it the perception of, like, how it is here then, rather than over there?
I just don't want to be the first person that someone says when I say that I'm Thai. They're like,
so
the lady boys over there. Have you ever been to the ping pong,
so
whatever,
it's
tennis?
Over there.
There's like this, there's this event that they have every year.
Yeah, they so good.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna explain your event.
No, I don't really know that much about
it's
it,
not
which
her.
I should.
You know,
yeah.
The event. More of that.
Here we go. You guys saying that I'm a lady boy.
Introduction.
Sorry. Okay. What else would I be ashamed of?
Let's just flip it. Let's just say what we're proud of, to lighten it a bit, because it's getting a bit depressing.
Well, no, okay, I didn't
day
put
and
one
night
in
from the
I
last
didn't put
podcast.
One in, but the whole, like, not having children, which makes me kind of sad.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, Chinese culture is like all about continuing the generations by having children.
How much older generation rely on you having a younger child, a child to be happy?
But that's also just the world.
I wouldn't say so.
But Christian culture as well. Christians have
their
own culture. But yeah, Christian culture, people have children because it's God's plan to, you know, replenish the earth, recreate.
But I think it's because
that's families. They have really
I think
big
the
families,
disappointment there
children.
In Christian culture is like it's an emphasis on not carrying on God's plan. Whereas if you don't have children, the disappointment is that your parents are disappointed, and that's what cuts deep. That it's your parents that are disappointed.
Well, you could say that in Christian culture that God is your father and he's disappointed in you.
I don't know. I don't think that... Look, to be honest, I haven't heard of that many, like, white people, any of my white friends, being worried about not having children because they're gay. Because of their parents wanting them to have children.
Yeah.
But, like, every Asian that's gay, it's kind of like,
oh,
what am I going to do?
Have children?
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? And then, like, how am I going to bring up I'm going to have a child with someone that's not, like,
it's also
really
when you
naturally
go
done.
To visit your grandparents and stuff, and you start to get
to
an age where you should have a boyfriend and you should be thinking about family, and because you have a job and everything and you have the stability to
raise a family, and so they're like, oh yeah, come on, I want to see grandchildren before I die, kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, that might happen in white culture, it's just I don't hear it as much as well, so.
Yeah, but anyways, stuff that we're proud of.
Boopy.
I don't, because it's hard to say if it's a cultural thing, or if it's just the individual person, or when it comes to, like, things that I find I'm proud of in their parents.
Yeah.
So, like, their work ethic and their, business, abilities, like, and also their,
abilities.
Yeah, also, like, willingness to learn as well.
Really?
Yeah, I think dad for sure. Like, dad always goes to, like, uni after work. And he's been doing that for years. Like,
that's
just
true.
Keep learning new things.
Mm.
But I don't know if that's, like, a cultural thing or if that's just mum and
dad.
I
think that's just dad.
No, I think it's a cultural thing.
Is it?
I think what Asians are seen as very, very hardworking. And they have no time to rest.
But, yeah, it's definitely the tenacity and, the work ethic and, like, on top of that, their intelligence, not just in, like, life things, but also business and on top of that, academics. Like, they strive for higher academics.
Very street smart.
Yeah, but, also still trying to, like, play on the field that, like, a person of privilege would live in, like, the country that they lived in. Which would be, like, academically, they'd still try to get their degree and diploma. They wouldn't just be like, fuck it, like, that's just a white people thing. It's just like, no, like, they still try to fit in with the society by getting those diplomas and degrees and etc.
Yeah.
As well, and be educated. So it's not just, like, my kids, they're not just giving everything up for the kids. They're still doing stuff for themselves, which I feel like is a healthy way to live as well. Anyway. What's something you're proud of?
we'll go Jess first. Cause
Jess.
Something I'm proud of?
Yeah, right? Kirstie said it all.
Yeah, Kirstie said it all. Yeah. I mean, our parents have... I think that our parents have given us a really good life. I mean, obviously there are some pressures, like just finish a university, which isn't like... that big of a deal. Like, it is a big deal, but in comparison to what they went through, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But just finish university and get a job. It's just basically what we've been...
So they've instilled good principle.
Yes. I think I think that we've all grown up with a strong moral compass. Not that not that ours is better than everyone else's, just that we've got a very fixed compass, and I think that helps me a lot in making a lot of the decisions.
That's actually a good point. As I've gotten older, the way that mum parented us is something I would say I'm proud of, but with some caveats. There are some things that I don't agree with because the way that my parents raised us, and I think that is very difficult for them to have done. On top of their business and on top of having four of us.
Yeah. But I also think that because they probably grew up in similar situations, it's a lot easier because that's what they've learnt growing up.
Yeah, it's not like they know how to parent any other way.
Yeah.
I think that's one point. You kind of said that I really thought, that's something I missed for sure. The parenting.
Yeah, we've got a very... I don't know. I think I'm... I think I would like to say I have a strong set of principles that I follow, but I don't want to say that at the same time because everyone's a hypocrite. That's I'll just leave it at that.
What do you mean by principles?
Like
honesty, truth.
Honesty
and like work ethic. Because I think is what you're trying to say.
I don't know about the work ethic one.
When it comes to things that you actually like.
Yeah.
Okay, look, honestly, you have a tendency to really stick things through when you get obsessed. You get obsessed with things, like...
I think that's kind of wavering Rubik's now.
Rubik's Cube, her skateboard. Like,
yeah.
Like,
what about my skateboard?
You always, I guess. Yeah.
You get obsessed with things and you just don't let it go for like years.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You really don't let it go. And I think that's very much a dad thing.
That's true.
Dad just does not let things go.
Yeah. Because, okay, if I... Because...
So, like...
I would want something for a very... Like, a long time, but because we've been raised frugally...
Frugally.
Not that we couldn't afford it, just, like, by principle, we would wait to buy something.
As most people should.
Yeah. Most people should, but they don't.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that most... Yeah, anyways... So, my first, like, obsession was probably Rubik's Cubes.
No, Rubik's Sticks.
No, Rubik's Cubes first.
Club Penguin? You've just saying today.
I didn't love Club Penguin, though. I just liked playing it with my friends.
Every Saturday.
Yes. Well...
That was your only... If you didn't have that limitation, you would play it every day. Let's be real.
No. Okay. Yeah. No! No, I could have played every day if I wanted to.
But so your first
you're very good. I think
So that's what I mean by work ethic. I don't mean like your degree or your academics, but when you get like really into something, it's very much you stick to it and you like to be as honest as you can. And I think that's those are two things that you'd like that if mum and dad have instilled in you. Nan's turn.
Yeah.
Jesus. There's so much.
Like, I'm both ashamed and patriotic. So patriotic when it comes to Thai food.
I know. If I ever make a joke about Thai culture, she is so cut.
Anyway.
But yeah, the thing that I'm most proud about is Thai food. Yeah. That shit good, man.
You slapped it, like, they put a crack in here or some shit.
Yeah, my mum's cooking abilities that she's passing on to me. Me hunched over a wok at 5 years old. So, I have a great hand for seasoning foods. I think I make pretty good food. Yeah.
I think the best way that I compliment you is, you know, I never used to, like, insert whatever food until you made it.
To be honest, yeah, I didn't really like I didn't really like scrambled eggs as much, but then like you made it really nice and I was like, ooh.
Oh, thanks guys. Oh, shut.
The only compliment I'll take is wow, this is so good.
Anyway, continue. What else?
What else is there? I think I'm pretty polite,
yeah.
Especially when I'm, like, around, parents or yeah. elders.
Yeah.
I slip into, like...
Mormon Nalin.
Not Mormon Nalin, like, Thai Nalin that is visiting random family members. So I'll say hello, and the thing is...
Whoa.
Also, no one else does that. No one else says hello when Brown they go over okay. other people's houses.
My mom was chuffed.
But yeah, it's just the way that you sit, the way that you speak to them, the language you use around them. I've learned how to be very self-conscious around elder people. I think that's pretty much it.
Food and manners.
Food and mannerisms, respect for elders, that sort of thing. Yeah, so I would say mannerisms and the food, Thai food. It's so good.
You just, whenever you have anything, you're like, I don't know, Thai people do it better. You're just never impressed.
It's because we've incorporated so many different flavor profiles
you know what it
into
is?
One dish, and I'm not used to having something that is sort of like,
flat
in flavor, sort of like if it's okay. just a savory thing. If it's only salty, and it's not balanced out with like sweetness or like acidity, then I feel
or fat.
Yeah, or fat. Then I feel like I need to chase it with something.
you know what I mean?
Right. You know what it is? The foods that you find good are Thai food and fast food. Like, you fucking love the new McDonald's pie.
Oh my gosh, no, that pie is... That pie hits all the spots. It's custard, it's creamy, it's a little bit salty from the outside, and it's got the tartness and the sweetness from the raspberry jam, and it's crispy on the outside. Oh, it's so good.
Hey, you want to go get one?
I mean, we could. But yeah, anyways, everyone go out and try McDonald's new custard and raspberry pie. So good. They're $1.50 right now. Anyways, so we're gonna wrap this episode.
Are you sponsored?
This not episode sponsored. Sponsored by McDonald's. No, it's really not. I wish. I can't have sponsors for a while. Okay, thank you guys for listening. A lot of my listeners were kind of upset because, well, we're not upset, but just taken aback that the last episode didn't end with an outro or any sort of thing. So this is the outro you guys wanted. I want to thank Jess and Kersey for joining me on this episode today, and we'll see you next week.
Will we?
I'll hear you next. You'll hear us next week.